Bargain Basement Productions, in association with the Penny Pincher Players, presents Murder Under a Malathion Moon, a mystery for radio in four parts. Written and directed by Aaron Connolly and Jackie Loebland, engineered by Chris Matthews, with a musical score by Dawn Richardson. And now part one of Murder Under a Malathion Moon.
Noise up there. Somebody's got to work tomorrow, and that somebody is me. It's 3:42 a.m. I can still see the haze over the moon from the malathion that they sprayed earlier this evening. That wonderful pesticide that seems to be killing more paint jobs and med flies. Great. Last time this happened, my cat sounded like Betty Davis all week. And I'm wondering if the flies drifting in my beer died of natural causes. I kind of doubt it. I drink it anyway. I'm on a budget. My name is Sini. Sini Rigatini, actress. I'm 5'4", 120 pounds, and I might as well be Quasimodo blind to get an acting job in this town. It's a tough place, L.A., between the gang-related shootings and the drug wars. Not to mention the parking problem, and forget about trying to keep a stereo in your car. I haven't been able to afford one anyway since I lost my last waitressing gig. But you've gotta love L.A. If you don't love L.A., get the hell out. That's my motto. I'm sifting through the ashtray looking for a butt I can salvage when the phone rings.
Hi, it's me, Sini. Sini Rigatini, Private Eye. I'm not answering the phone right now, so leave your name, number, a brief description of your case, and how much you're willing to pay.
You've got to stop Fancy Nails. He's gone too far. He's going to bump off the bishop tomorrow at the Arts Festival during the parade. If you can't stop Fancy Nails tomorrow, stop him soon. He might strike again. I'll pay you $2.50 a week to track him down and put an end to this.
$2.50 a week? I've made more working graveyard at Denny's. You know, they call it graveyard because all the food tastes like it was freshly dug up. But I just lost that job, so I grabbed the $2.50. Besides, I probably gained 40 pounds in about a week over the guilt of letting the bishop die. It's 4:03 a.m. Time to call Midge Newton. She's never happy to hear from me at this time in the morning, but she's always awake. Midge is my partner, also an out-of-work actress. She doesn't care as much. She has credit cards.
Sini, this better not be you.
Midge, it's me, Sini. Sini Rigatini.
You're bugging me.
It's important, Midge. Somebody named Fancy Nails is going to bump off the bishop tomorrow at the Arts Festival.
Dudeness, what do I care? Besides, I'm Presbyterian anyway. And I'm not alone at the moment.
Sorry, Midge, but $2.50 a week is more important than your sex life.
$2.50 a week is my sex life.
What do you mean by that? Never mind. Can you meet me?
Oh, all right. I'll meet you at Broadway and 4th at 10:30. Now leave me alone.
But Midge is never alone. It's 10:35 a.m. It took six stops to finally find a place that didn't serve their coffee in styrofoam cups, so I'm running a little late. Not to mention the parking problem. Just my luck. It's street cleaning day. After walking 20 blocks, I finally get to the parade site. Through a sea of trendy hairdos, I spot Midge. She makes everyone else seem like they've been shopping at the bargain basement at Penny's. Hi, Midge. It's me, Sini. Sini Rigatini.
You're late. Your lipstick doesn't match your outfit. Hey, where's my coffee? Oh, by the way, your anonymous phone caller had a busy night. She apparently contacted the police because your Uncle Charlie assigned a lot of cops to protect the bishop. He smells bad.
The bishop?
No, your Uncle Charlie. Yuck.
She's right. Uncle Charlie's a good cop, and good cops always smell bad.
Francine!
Hi, Uncle Charlie.
Help! Anybody got a clothespin?
Nothing short of a neutron bomb could kill the bishop.
How about your breath?
Shut up, Midge!
Oh, I'm just kidding. Lighten up.
Uncle Charlie's right. The bishop is flanked by six of the biggest cops on the force. Also, throughout the crowd, you can spot a lot of men in cheap polyester suits. Obviously undercover cops. The bishop is wearing a bulletproof vest and motorcycle helmet. Quite a fashion statement for a man of the cloth. The parade begins with a drill team made up of mimes throwing invisible batons into the smoggy air. You probably wouldn't be able to see them if they were real anyway. They're followed by a float with a huge papier-mâché replica of a National Endowment for the Arts grant. A bunch of performance artists are wandering around the float screaming at the top of their lungs. A bald woman begins to play the flute while another woman rips her shirt off and screams, "I'd like you all to meet my breasts!" At that moment, the bishop falls lifeless onto the dirty streets of L.A. First, we think the sight of the young woman's breast was too much for him, but when the body is turned over, we see a dart sticking out of his jugular vein. Unfortunately, no one seems to know where the dart came from, because at the moment of the death, we were all being introduced to the woman's uneven pair.
Sini, that policewoman who was standing next to the bishop probably got a good view of where the dart came from. Let's grill her for a little info.
Her badge reads Officer Bean. She's 6'4", 300 pounds, and let's just say if she took a swim in the ocean, she might be mistaken for a small island. Officer Bean?
That's right. Who wants to know?
It's me, Sini. Sini Rigatini, private investigator. My Uncle Charlie gave me permission to ask you a few questions.
Big hippity. Besides, he smells like wet socks.
Shut up, Midge. Listen, Officer Bean, it wasn't my uncle's B.O. that killed the bishop. Now you better just start talking before you lose your position on the wrestling team.
I'm not talking unless you buy me something.
I relate to that.
Shut up, Midge. All right, what do you want? And it better be under 20 bucks.
I want a pizza.
Ooh, do you really think you need a pizza? Why don't you choose some frozen yogurt or something?
It took me 15 minutes to unpry Officer Bean's bear claw hands from around Midge's neck.
Hello? Tough Life Pizza?
What direction do you think the dart came from, Officer Bean?
I'd like to order an extra large meat lover special.
Thick crust with extra cheese.
Why don't you eat like a human, Bean?
Thick crust with extra cheese. Nathan? Oh, my gosh, how are you?
The closest I can tell you is somewhere around that big paper float. You know, the one with all those artsy-fartsy performance artists on it.
No, Nathan, I'm sure it's not mine.
Someone on the float, Officer Bean?
Couldn't tell. Maybe.
I have one black lace bra, and I'm wearing it right now.
Have you questioned everyone on the float?
Yeah. We talked to everybody on the float, but there is no way to prove anything without a weapon. If you want to talk to them yourself, they'll be at the coffee grounds tonight for a performance party to benefit the homeless. Look, I'm hungry. Get the bimbo off the phone so that guy can make my pizza.
No. Oh, all right. You give me fever, but
shut up, Midge. On the way to the party, we stop by the station. While Midge occupies the entire fifth precinct with her rendition of I Wanna Be Loved By You, I sneak into Uncle Charlie's office and grab the bishop's calendar book to get a Xerox copy of the page with today's date on it. Written in what looks like some kind of shorthand is MP2P, FM4P. I'm following a trail of clothes looking for Midge when I run into Officer Bean. Her mood is a lot brighter, and I see that there is still a piece of cheese dangling from her mustache.
If you're interested, I just got a call from someone named Father Monk, who says that he had an appointment to meet the bishop at 4 p.m.
Well, that explains the FM at 4 p.m., but what about the MP at 2 p.m.?
Oh, I don't have time to play Sesame Street. I've got a job to do.
I continue my search for Midge.
Poop-poop-be-doo.
Come on, Midge. We've got an appointment with a priest.
All this religious stuff is bugging me.
We set up an appointment to meet Father Monk at the Home for Pies later this afternoon.
God bless that uncle of yours. Too bad about that disturbing scent.
Amen, Father. Say a little prayer.
Shut up, Midge.
Welcome to the home for pies, where every slice is just as nice. How may I serve you?
We'll just have two cups of coffee. What would you like, Father?
I think I will have some pie.
Apple cherry, peach, guava meringue, mango mint, malted macadamia mousse, java cheesecake, cucumber carrot surprise.
Apples, fine. Make it a la mode.
Listen, Father, can you think of any reason why somebody would want to bump off the bishop?
Well, I know that he was involved in a little detective work of his own. Now, the bishop had been observing traditional religious rituals of certain native Indian tribes in Brazil. He was quite impressed with their ability to use drugs strictly for these religious purposes without fear of addiction. He had a liking for one tribe in particular and became great friends with the chief. The bishop was troubled when the chief contacted him recently about the disappearance of a married couple from the tribe. Since then, he became obsessed with finding that missing Brazilian couple. The only lead the bishop had, as far as I know, was that an American businessman had visited the tribe shortly before the couple disappeared. This was an odd occurrence because the tribe was so secluded.
We need the names of the missing Brazilian couple and the American businessman, Father.
I'm afraid I can't help you, young lady. Perhaps you can ask your uncle.
No deal, Father. We've been through all his personal stuff, and there's no mention of any Brazilian couple or American businessman.
Well, unfortunately, the rest of his belongings are in Rome, at the Vatican. Dominus Pacem. It might take months for the church to release his things. Perhaps you can take a trip to Brazil.
We can't even afford a trip to Fresno.
Father Monk, did the bishop ever mention the name Fancy Nails?
Why, that does sound familiar.
Bingo! Who is it?
Oh, no. Sorry, girls. That was Fancy Tail, his dog.
Oh, God.
That makes me very sad to think about, because Sister Nun will probably take him. And she's a real crab, let me tell you. I can't wait for my pie any longer. I really must go. Here's a few bucks to cover it. Good luck to you.
Hey. Oh, grab a fork, Sini. This'll have to tide us over until we get that 250 bucks.
You ask me if I love you. I tell you, only if you're dead and you still have to pay the bill.
The bald woman from the float is in the middle of a performance piece when we get to the coffee grounds. The program says her name is Rainy Underwall. Midge and I are looking around to see if we might be subjected to another introduction to the notorious breasts.
You ask me to do your dishes. I spit on them and throw them in the cupboard. You like it and eat off them anyway. Romeo, Romeo, wherefore art thou? Your girlfriend is a sow. Let's share a cup of hemlock and talk over old times forever.
The crowd begins snapping their approval.
Well, that was about as deep as my butthole.
Shut up, Midge. It's too late. All eyes are on us. Rainy Underwall is staring at Midge like she's just taken the last bikini at a bathing suit sale.
Interesting metaphor. I'd stay away from hairspray if I were you. It's flammable.
Thanks for the advice, Baldy.
Oh, hard to tell what's the performance and what's real, isn't it? No need for fighting. You with your shiny jewels and you with your little shiny little head. You're both beautiful in your own way. Such beautiful styles you have. We all have the potential for having beautiful styles. And that's why we're here, to help those homeless people find that potential. Special thanks to Rainy Underwall for donating your time. We know you can hardly afford to donate anything anymore, Rainy, since you lost your National Endowments for the Arts grant. Next week, we'll just have to do a benefit for you. Okie dokie. My name, as you probably know, is Veronica. I am your breathtakingly beautiful MC drag queen for this evening. But hang on to your seats, because now I'd like to introduce to you our next special guest. Someone who certainly possesses a special style all of his own. Rick LaDick.
You're very kind, my baby. Let's take this song with my love to your lover.
I am praying. There's a state of mind, pull too tight, I need to unwind.
Midge and I begin wandering around looking for suspects, which is impossible. Everybody in this crowd is suspect.
Sini,
I say we get some coffee and go home. That bald bitch did it. Besides, Miss MC Drag Queen is bugging me.
But Midge, Rainey was visible at the time of the murder. Seems unlikely.
Oh, no. It looks like that breast lady is preparing to go on stage. Let's go find a phone and check your messages. Maybe the anonymous caller phoned you again.
Or at least drop some cash in the mail.
That's not Rick! Ask his parents. It looks like him, but he's different. Rick, what happened to you? You're the last person I expected to buy into all this crap.
No, this is the real me, BB. I'm not that Uncle Cloud you used to know, so take a pill, babe, or better yet, why don't...
All righty, Rue, that's enough for me, too. I've always said that art inspires controversy, but this is really beginning to tighten my girdle. So let's just change gears for a minute.
Honey, I sure wish you would change gears. Throw it in reverse and back it right off that stage. Veronica, you vamp.
Oh, no. Funny girl, this town's most tired transvestite. Not you again. Meat, how did you let this bad imitation of Diana Ross back in here?
Don't bother showing me the dough. I know perfectly well where it is. I was here 6 years before you came in stealing my job, stealing my whole territory in this town.
Hey, Meat, show her that door that she's so familiar with. Get her out of my sight.
Get your clammy paws off me. Listen here, you vixen, Veronica. You may impress everybody else with your newfound style and fancy nails, but you're not impressing me.
Seanie, did you hear that? Fancy nails. I know it's a stretch, but we don't have anything else to go on.
We follow the flustered funny girl fumbling with her keys to her fuchsia fiero.
Hi, would you mind... Oh, ooh, your wig is really crooked. Let me help you fix it.
Get your hands off me. I'm out of here.
We just need to know where we can find fancy nails. I'm sorry, we haven't met. It's me, Seanie Rigatini. We were just hoping you could help us find fancy nails.
1427 Hillburst. Now move out of my way, Obscene Rigatini.
Obscene?
Oh, shut up, Midge. That night, I go home to be haunted by strange dreams in which the bishop is a bald transvestite lying on a piano like Marlena Dietrich singing Bye Bye Brazil. I wake up in a cold sweat when Midge jumps in front of the bishop, rips open her blouse, and introduces her breasts to him, which are tattooed with the name Fancy Nails. I give up trying to sleep and get up early. I finally get to Midge's after stopping by the store to pick up another brand of cigarettes. Mine are just too short.
Oh, don't tell me. It's you, Obscene. Obscene Rigatini.
Okay, Midget Newton, get in the car.
That's not funny. Obscene is funny, but that's just not.
Okay, fine. Got a light?
What is that you're smoking? It's hitting the windshield.
I'm trying a new brand. My nerves are shot over this fancy nails thing.
Yeah, well, I don't see how smoking a telephone pole is going to calm you down. Besides, we got the address. The whole thing will probably be over in 15 minutes and we can go for coffee.
Somehow I don't think so. Nothing in L.A. comes that easy, not to mention the parking problem. So I'm not at all surprised when the address leads us to the Fancy Nails Nail Salon. What do we expect, that this guy Fancy Nails hangs out with a couple of drag queens when he's not busy shooting darts at major religious figures? I wonder if we're being played for fools. It wouldn't be the first time. Our last case was a wild goose chase, which ended up being a cover for someone to throw Midge a birthday party. I feel like a patsy. I don't want to go in, but Midge convinces me, telling me if nothing else, we can always check the prices. Both of us desperately need to get our nails done.
What can I do for you ladies?
Seated in the back of the room is a large Mama Cass-type woman. She's reading a copy of Mother Jones magazine, smoking a pipe. I think maybe she is Mama Cass. I imagine Jim Morrison working in a nail salon somewhere in Paris. I obviously have had too much coffee.
I was recommended to your salon by a friend of mine. A charming little drag queen. Well, actually, she's not that little. After all, she, or I guess I should say he, is a man. Anyway, his name is Veronica.
First of all, I don't service drag queens. And second, I don't know any he, she, or it named Veronica.
Listen, Mama, You better lighten up your mood, because I've got a chicken bone in my purse with your name on it.
For the future, Midge, it's just no good threatening people when you're trying to get information from them, unless you're Mr. T or the IRS.
The name's Mona Lisa. Madam Mona Lisa. And my patience is running out.
Oh, I can't find the key to the drawer.
Oh, good, Vernon, you're here. These two women seem to be having a little trouble finding the door.
Do I look like a bouncer to you? Why don't you get Victor to do it, huh?
No, why don't you get Victor to do it?
Look, Mona, I need the key. I've gotta get ready.
Get ready for what? A divorce? I'm ready for that.
Oh, yeah, that's just like you. How about a little support, huh?
Support? How about the last 10 years of my life I've spent in this lousy dive trying to keep your head above water? I could have been something, really something. I had a beautiful, beautiful singing voice. You know, Sister Nun used to always tell me what a beautiful voice I had.
Oh, yeah, about as beautiful as the sound of a cat when it gets hit by a car. Now get me the key.
You want it, you get it.
No, you get it.
No, you get it,
here,
you pig
nose.
Bomber, you get it.
Though Vernon is a big man, he's no match for Madame Mona Lisa. Just as they are about to exchange blows, a large, dark-skinned man with a tattoo of a scorpion on the side of his face enters through the back door.
Victor, get rid of these two!
Hold it right there, Victor. It's me, Sini. Sini Rigatini, and I just need to know one thing. Does anybody know where I can find a guy named Fancy Nails?
Out!
As Victor is carrying us out the door, Midge manages to slip her phone number into his pocket.
Well, I thought I might be able to get some information from him.
Midge, I cannot base my reputation as a private investigator on your sex life any longer. It's degrading.
I'm sorry, but she was bugging me. That Mona Lisa is really lucky I didn't turn her into the Venus de Milo and rip her arms off.
Fortunately, our argument is cut short when Midge's beeper goes off. Apparently, Ronnie Wonder, our agent, if you can call her that, has a possible audition for Midge tomorrow. We stop by the office to pick up the script. When we get to the office, the receptionist, Astral Trad, is a little more hyper than usual, which is hard to imagine.
Hi, you two. How you been? Seems like we never see you anymore. Oh, well, I suppose that's not your fault. I mean, you'd be in here all the time if we had more things to send you out on. But that's not our fault either. After all, we're certainly submitting you. Submitting, submitting, submitting. Picture after picture after picture. Seems like hundreds of your pictures leave this office every week. Why, there must be enough pictures of you two to build a small housing project for the homeless. That phone just never seems to ring. Well, that's not true. Lately, it's been ringing off the hook, off the hook, off the hook, off the hook. Ring, ring, ring. Ever since we signed Lana Levine, it's just been ringing. Ring, 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 off the hook, ring, off the hook, ring, off the hook, ring, 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 off the hook. Yes, indeed, that Lana Levine is hot property. Hot, hot, hot. We're making diddly off you two, but of course, that's not your fault. But thank God for Lana. Because of her, we've been able to buy a few things around here. Now we've got Sparkly's water and a new coffee maker. Hey, that sounds terrific, doesn't it? Hot, fresh coffee. Hot, hot, hot. Fresh, fresh, fresh. Should I throw in a pot?
Why don't you throw in a straitjacket?
Midge doesn't mean any offense, Astral, but you need another cup of coffee like you need a bad permanent.
She's right, Astral. Just say no.
Oh, well, maybe you two are right. But you know, I could make some decaf. That's another thing we've been able to afford lately. But personally, I...
Midge and I back into Ronnie's office, unannounced as usual.
I need to go through the day.
Midge, Sini, what are you doing here? Would you like some coffee?
What is it with the coffee around here, Ronnie? And what do you mean, what are we doing here? You called us.
Did I? Well, hold on a second. Astral, could you get Lana on the phone to see what time she can be here? Sorry, girls. Anyway, the script is over there on the table. Why don't you read it out loud so I can hear what it sounds like? Midge, you've got the first character, and Sini, you just, read everyone else's part.
Okay, let's see. I'm less than half your size. Hell, I barely come up to your kneecaps. I can't tolerate the way people are beginning to stare.
You're as tall as a skyscraper to me. It's society that's so small.
In my country, Kuaipang, I am an average-sized person. In fact, I was the tallest person in my third-grade class. Someone your size would be looked upon strangely there. So you see, there's no place left to hide.
Funny, when I was in the third grade, I was the size that you are now. 3'7".
Ronnie!
I'm sorry, I'm a little preoccupied. Please, go on.
What for? Ronnie, are you sure this is the right script?
What? Yeah, movie of the week. You'll be great. Continue, please.
But I doubt you had to go through the third grade without any ears. Jeez, Ronnie, I'll be the first to tell you I'm a great actress, but I cannot play a 3'7" Oriental woman with no ears.
Oh, Midge, you got me. That is the wrong script. It's the one under the lamp. Just read the first monologue.
My daughter spent $42 on shoes, $60 on a dress, and $8 on a lovely corsage. Not only did my daughter miss the prom because of this boy's negligence, but she got stuck with the bill. So if you're not interested in taking the case, Mr. Lawrence, I'll find someone who will.
Beautiful, beautiful. Are you seeing Emmys, Midge? I'm seeing Emmys. Let's put it in the office. Let's see, where should we put it? Where should we put it, Zadie?
Why don't you put it next to the coffee pot? That seems to be the focal point around here.
We seem to be overlooking something. I'm only 22 years old. When did I have this child? When I was 6?
Maybe you had her when you were in Kuaipang attending the third grade.
Shut up, Sini. Ronnie, why didn't you send me for the part of the daughter, huh? It's a little closer to my age, isn't it?
Ah, crummy part. No meat. No meat at all. Besides, Midge, you're, a little too big for the role.
A minute ago, I was 3'7".
This one's getting so short, seems like I always have to sharpen it. Sharpen, sharpen, sharpen.
At that moment, Lana Levine enters the office.
Yes, yes.
The public knows what it wants, and it's Lana Levine. Sophisticated, beautiful. She makes Midge look like she's been shopping at the bargain basement at Penny's.
Lana Levine, it's great to see you. Here, have a seat. Sini, can you move? You girls know Lana, don't you?
Sure.
Yeah.
Ronnie, would you mind putting out your cigarette? Smoking is murderous on the course.
Silly of me. How could I forget? Lana has been training extensively with a vocal coach.
Yeah, well, Midge has been training extensively with a football coach.
Yes, well, certainly shows. And you, Teeny?
That's Sini. Sini Rigatini.
Oh, yes, of course, Sini. That's cute, isn't it? You certainly have an interesting vocal quality. That's big now, isn't it? That deep, husky, sounds like you've been gargling with broken glass kind of tone.
Well, actually, Lana, I have a Drano milkshake every morning for breakfast just to keep the pipes clean.
Oh, Lana, I've got that script for you. I think you're just going to love it.
Well, to be honest, Ronnie, I'd really have to. I was hoping to take a little break. I mean, 3 pictures in a row is very exhausting.
Say, did you see her last picture, All About Me? I think I see an Oscar on the horizon. Where shall we put it? Where shall we put it?
Ronnie, this is a movie of the week. You know I don't do TV, and I'm not about to play some jilted prom queen.
Ronnie, you toad!
It took me 15 minutes to pry Midge's hands off Ronnie's neck before we left her office.
Oh, are you two leaving? Are you sure you don't want some coffee?
We did want coffee, but we need to have a change of atmosphere in a big way.
That concludes part 1 of Murder Under a Malathion Moon, with Aaron Connolly as Sini Rigatini, Jackie Loeblin as Midge Newton, Shannon Smith as the DJ, Scott Dorfman as Uncle Charlie, Courtney McEwen as Officer Bean, Michael Lindsay as Father Monk and Funny Girl, Margot Rose Thomas as the waitress, Noelle McGrath as Rainy Underwall, Jason Stroud as the MC Drag Queen and Vernon, Greg Rainwater as Rick the Dick, Laura Finnegan as Madame Mona Lisa, Adrian Stout as Astral Trad, Terry Gervin as Ronnie Wonder, Denise Poirier as Lana Levine, and Paula Tiso as BB. Iron Brain was performed by Greg Rainwater. Lyrics by Aaron Connolly and Jeff Mitchell. Music by Aaron Connolly, Dan O'Hess, and Chris Matthews.